I'm Mark Isaacs, a filmmaker. My last film's called The Road, A Story of Life and Death.
So tell me about your background to being a documentary maker. What inspires you? What fires you up?
My background was, I stumbled into it really because I didn't want to do anything else. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I kind of ended up working as a runner years and years ago and found my way into sort of world of documentary through process of elimination, you know, kind of pushing aside everything else I wasn't interested in the world of television, as it were. And I've been making sort of documentaries about people, sort of human condition stuff for 10, 12 years.
And so how do you find the ideas? What do you do? What are you passionate about when it comes to people?
I'm essentially interested in people and the way they live, you know, on a really basic level, you know, so the sort of emotional lives people have, what makes them get up in the morning, you know, what motivates them. And you know, my ideas are quite abstract sometimes. You know, I start often with a place and then start looking around because a place, so, you know, it could be a place that has a meaning to it. I made films in a lift in a tower block in Calais in France. You know, different spaces that may throw up interesting themes. Transience is a big theme that I'm interested in.
So the film that you've just brought out, The Road, A Story of Life and Death, all about people who live along the A5. Tell me about how you found the people on that road to tell their stories.
We just, when I say we, myself and a team of researchers, literally kind of spent hours and hours, days and days, walking up and down and stopping people that we thought were interesting, and going into flats and houses, shops, and, you know, kind of looking for people that sort of sparked an interest. You know, it could be a gesture, it could be someone's face, that could be a starting point. And going from there, really. So it's a real process of discovery that takes a long time.
And then at that point, how do you then get people to, A, share their stories and to connect with you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think people, you know, you usually end up filming with people that have some reason, you know, motivation to want to be filmed, which, you know, they may even not know about beforehand. It's just that, you know, they could be quite isolated or they, you know, are happy to share their stories because they're just honest and open. You know, many people aren't. Many people, you know, that I meet, the conversation doesn't go very far and then we walk away. But the people that end up in the films are the ones that, you know, want to share something of their lives and feel happy and comfortable in doing that.
What do you see are the challenges to making these kind of personal insight documentaries that really we just don't get to see? They're not on our television screens very often. So what are the challenges?
In terms of filmmaking, the challenge is to make something that's really resonant and you know, is a film, you know, something that is a piece of art that can speak for itself. And but in the context of the industry, you know, things that speak for themselves aren't very easy to fund because they're subtle by their nature. They don't lay everything out for you in a very obvious way. So, you know, especially within the television system, it's difficult. There are few places to go to for this kind of film. You know, everybody knows the kind of stuff that's on TV, and it's very sort of formulaic and obvious, and this kind of filmmaking is very different, so it's quite marginal, you know, and I think that it probably always will be because it's using a different form, it's asking the viewer to sort of engage in a different way, to really engage rather than be told, you know, in voiceover or narration about what's going on the screen. You know, you're asked to invest in the image and the scenes and to sit down and watch something. And one of the problems is we don't really watch television anymore. You know, it's there in the corner of the room, it's on whilst you're on your laptop or listening to the radio or doing the ironing or whatever. So that's a challenge, you know. I think that it's a very difficult environment.
Many of the organisations that we work with are charities, museums, heritage organisations, but all trying to think about how they tell their stories to a wider audience. What would you say they should be looking for in their storytelling?
I mean, I think they have to make films rather than campaigns in a way, because I think film is, for me, the most powerful medium there is. I mean, you know, you can read a good book, you know, a great piece of literature, and it stays with you forever, doesn't it? Good films can do that as well. And I think that the problem is if you're making something that's just part of a campaign, they can also have a power, but they're quite sort of limited as well. I think people need to be touched, and often campaigns by their very nature, you know, have to be in a sort of loose way, very manipulative. They need to get you to engage very quickly in something, and you know, that can often make people switch off. Actually, in reality, I mean, it's quite, you know, you can sort of be overloaded with that. But if it's a film and it's all there in the subtext, but it's not the first layer, you know, I think that's much more interesting. It will live with people in a different way. But the problem is, it's not immediate, it's not quick, it's not here and now. You know, it's something that takes a long time to sort of seep into people's consciousness, and it's probably very unfashionable.
And possibly for some people risky.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.